It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Good Wednesday evening, Northern Colorado. Welcome in to Brew Talk. We've got a fun one for you here tonight. As always, I am Tanner Schwint. Thanks for being with us. We're going back a little bit. We're going to the West Coast IPAs or somewhere along those lines. We're going with traditional IPAs tonight. I'm excited about this one. Excited to get in there, talk about these, and why possibly have we seen this transition away from the traditional West Coast IPAs into the hazies, right, into the milkshake IPAs as well. So we're going to talk about all of that. Let's bring in the fellas, starting first with Rule 105 Brewing. It is Dr. Michael Mosier.
Well, hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, actually.
You had a great weekend over at Rule 105.
We did. We had a grand opening and had a couple amazing bands, and then we had a food truck on Saturday, and things are just looking great and wonderful time.
Yeah, was there a little bit of a sense of relief when you got that open?
Yes, and in fact, the sense of relief didn't hit till Friday morning around 10 o'clock, about 2 hours before we opened.
Right.
That we went, okay, we've got enough open that we can go ahead and open now. So, yeah, there's still a little bit more to do here and there. We're going to end up putting a coffee bar in for those of you who happen to be designated drivers.
All right.
And a couple more things are coming along the way, but yeah, we're all ready to rock and roll.
I love it. Check out Rule 105 as always. Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael Square, you're tanned up, looking all pretty over there.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I figured we'd start it off with the weirdest compliment I could give you. Back from Florida.
It rained most of the time we were there, so I'm glad I tanned even in the rain.
There you go. You look good. You always look good.
Hey, thanks.
There you go. All right. We'll get more into your trip. I want to talk about some of the beers that you drank along the way. But before we get too weird, well, this guy might make it a little bit weirder. Let's bring in the head brewer of McClellan's Brewing Company. It is a great friend of the show, Graham Hurstwood. Graham, how are you, my friend?
I'm not too bad. I was going to say I'm offended, but everything you said there was true. So.
Yeah, no, I know it was absolutely true. I mean, you can handle that. You fit right in. That's why we're all a little bit weird. I think every brewer has to be a little bit weird, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what I think the worst beer nerds meet us. They think we're super cool, and then they realize we're very socially met.
Well, we're super cool to ourselves, at least,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Totally, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Graham. And so what's going on at McClellan's? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has, I know. It feels like there was some sort of pandemic or stuff. But, yeah, we're having a lot of fun just now. We're keeping up with our six-beer engines, and we just brewed a lovely English style of beer called a summer ale. But we put a little bit of a twist on it by using New Zealand hops. So I don't know if you can't really call it winter ale, but you know they're in reversal land back there. So that's literally just on the Astell rest just now. So that'll be pouring on a beer engine in the McClellan's Brewing Company near you very soon.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And yeah, that little pandemic that you talked about, it didn't have any effects at all, did it?
Well, not on the good drinkers in Colorado. No, they kept drinking ones for the team, which I think is wonderful for them. But it was a bit weird for everyone, but at least people kept up their spirit with their beers.
Yeah, and I think you're starting to see a lot more people get out and get going again. And how nice has it been to be able to have McClellan's back at 100% capacity?
It's been fantastic. I mean, it's been really great for me to see people out, you know, enjoying themselves. You know, having that good old.
I think we're gonna try and get Graham a little bit of a better connection there, as it was breaking in and out a little bit as he was on the phone there. But we're definitely gonna catch back up with him. That guy, he is an entertainer.
Oh, he is.
Always.
And yeah, he knows what he's talking about too, about beer and stuff like that. You can really tell that. You know, he's putting all his heart and soul into the best beers possible.
Oh, he absolutely is. And, you know, he gets going and talking, and he gets fast when he's talking. And then he'll slide a joke in there, and I'm still like trying to understand, because he talks in such beer language too that sometimes it can go right over my head. So I have to stop for a second, and I kind of look around like, that was a joke, right? I think we've got Graham back up here again. Graham, sorry about that. Let's try and get a little bit of a better connection here. But you were talking about having McClellan's at 100%.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. You know, it's really part of our kind of Colorado culture, you know, beers and have the chat. And it's really nice to be back to that. Even for myself, you know, going out visiting brew pubs, which is my favorite hobby, much to my wife's chagrin. it's really nice to be out there. And I saw Dr. Mosher at the Blues Jam. Nice to actually be flinging beers to people at a little mini beer festival as well.
Yeah, it was a wonderful time at that brew fest. I had a great time and got a chance to visit with not just Graham, but a whole bunch of other breweries in the area, and really did a good job of distributing what we thought were great summer beers to all the attendees.
Yeah, and I think we're losing him. See, Ryan, see if we can try and get him back here in just a bit, if that works. See if he's got the time for it. That stinking phone connections out there.
Yeah, that happens.
I know.
There's nothing you can do about it, right?
No, not at all. And but yeah, you know, he McClellan's. You still haven't been over there yet, have you?
I still have to get over there. I mean, I've tried his beers many times, and had done a great job of trying his beers many times. The only problem is I've never been to his brewery to actually consume them there.
What have we got going on here? I'm sorry. I have to have a thinking pen when I'm doing this show. I have to have something like I'm fidgeting with.
Well, and that's what I was doing, and I got it stuck on the six-pack.
Yes, you did.
How do you get it stuck on a six-pack?
I don't know, but he did a damn good job with it.
That's called talent.
There you go. That is definitely talent.
Anyhow, yeah, no, McClellan's is great there. In fact, actually, our brew hop stop for the month of July.
Oh, I'm so excited.
They were the winner for the best brewery in our first annual Brew Talk Awards show. Mm-hmm. So we got to get out there, and that's what they won, was a free month of advertising along the way. For being that best brewery as voted on by the people. The one thing that I really do like about McClellan's is that there's something there for everybody, right? I mean, there's for the really advanced beer drinkers, I'll say, like cask ales, mm-hmm. Not for me. But you two gentlemen,
oh my,
love them.
Love it.
Yeah, me
One
too.
One of my favorite things.
And those are hard to find.
They're extremely.
They really are, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's only two breweries that I know of that are regularly producing cask ales. One down in Denver and the other one in Fort Collins, obviously.
Yeah.
And but my passion with the craft ale is that, or the cask beer, is that it doesn't have all the carbonation, so you don't get as full,
yeah, right,
as you would if you're just drinking a normal beer. And if the alcohol level is a little lower, well, then you can drink your beer and not worry about getting too buzzed that you can't enjoy the conversation with the person that you're talking to.
Right. Well, and that's what they've got those on tap, but they've also got such a wide selection. And I mean, Graham knows what he's doing. I mean, he brews really great beer, and then they've got the kitchen in there too, Chad.
They got the kitchen and a full bar. So if you're not a beer drinker, traveling with a beer drinker, you're sure to find something to enjoy as well.
It really just it feels like a party. I mean, the atmosphere in there, it's. What's the word? I'm looking. It's kind of an intimate setting in there. I mean, it's not over the top big, but I don't know.
Homey.
It's almost homey, yeah. It's homey, but it's also like a party. I mean, the music that they play in there. You know, it feels like. I don't know. Does it feel like Ireland? Does it feel like I don't know. It feels like a pub somewhere.
Yeah, it's just a pub. It's your local. You go hang out and, you know, strike up conversations with people and. Or enjoy a game on the TVs, or
too bad it's so far from Greeley, but it sounds like it'd be something I'd love to walk to every day.
Right,
that's right.
Yeah, no, it's a great time over there for sure. So we're gonna try and get Graham back up here in just a bit, but unfortunately the cell phone connection not working there. Let's talk about these. Let's go here instead, Chad. I was gonna talk about the West Coast. We'll save that for a segment. The beers that you had down in Florida, what was that like? Did you have any good local breweries down there that you would go back to?
You know, we only made it to a couple. There were some that were, in theory, they were within walking distance, but with the pending thunderstorms, it turned out the Pirate Bar was a lot closer and an easier draw. So we spent a lot of time at the Pirate Bar. But yeah, I did have, went to a couple breweries, Funky Buddha being one of them.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're one that's some people have heard of. Great beers. Loved their IPA. Had a fantastic jefe that was very good. Then we went to one that was less than half a block from one of the hotels we stayed at, right on the Hollywood Beach, called Hollywood Brewing. Really small place, but great patio just off the beach. Really interesting beers. And for such a small place, it seems like it's been around for a long time. I believe they've been around for 20 years, they said.
Wow.
So
interesting, you mean like coconut flavors and, you know, island kind of things?
Well, they have a lot of mango. Everybody's doing a mango beer down there for sure. They had a CBD beer. And then they had a couple different flavors that maybe I never tried, but wasn't really interested in trying as well. A little too fruity and tropical. Mm.
What was the Funky Buddha setting like? That I feel like you could have a lot of fun with that.
You know, it was the tap room we went to that I went to was kind of an industrial area.
Oh.
It was kind of just like a tap room off of a production brewery.
Okay.
Another tap room, they said, that's very themed.
Yeah.
So
I feel like you could have a lot of fun with that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Funky Buddha. A lot of dive bars down there. Did I see you had a Yingling? Was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of Yingling.
Lots and lots.
Really?
Drank a lot of that down there as well. So.
Well, it's a good beer, so
yeah,
totally understand that one.
You know, you have to pace yourself throughout the day, especially when the sun comes out and that humidity gets all the
right.
Lot, so.
Yeah, if you start drinking at 7 in the morning, you know, you can only go so long before
right.
you have to take a nap.
Yeah,
so.
True.
Yeah, but then you can always get up and get going again. Right?
That's right.
I mean, that's
so why
that's
the beach is right there to go take that nap on. So.
Yeah, if I did that, I'd turn into a crispy critter. So I don't. The sun and I don't get along very well.
Right. I feel that for sure. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to attempt to get Graham Hurstwood back on the phone, see if we've got a little bit better connection. Here. We're also going to talk about these West Coast, these traditional IPAs here in just a moment. You're listening to Brew Talk Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
The only thing that I can think about before just now when I hear the song is Paul Blart. It's a great movie. It's very underrated. The comedic humor.
It's a sleeper, huh?
It is. It's so good. But now that's going to be ingrained in my head is Doc jamming out as we come back in. Welcome into Brew Talk on this Wednesday evening. Let's talk about this, some traditional IPAs. Fellas, I ask you this question quite a bit. I'm going to ask it again. Where does this rank as a beer category for you guys? It's got to be up there, right?
Right at the top for me.
That's your favorite one?
Yeah, this is like number 3 or 4 for me. It's in my go-to wheelhouse. So, I mean, I really enjoy the bitterness, the hoppy character and stuff like that, but you kind of have to pace yourself. If you go a little too much on this, then you get sleepy.
Yeah.
At least I do, with the hops, you know, causing you to get a little bit sleepy in the behind-the-scenes kind of approach. But so all the way at the top, huh?
It really is. It's a style that I've been drinking for a long time. And as I get older, it's not so much the sleepiness, but sometimes the hops will, if it's too much, instant heartburn.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I know. Tanner's laughing.
Get that Matamucho working.
That's an old man thing to say.
Well, what about you?
But as long as I have my Tums with me, I'm
This is climbing for me. I didn't used to like these at all, but it's definitely, that traditional West Coast IPA is definitely climbing up my list. I don't know if it cracks top five. It's probably closing in there, but it's definitely a very good style. Let's see if we can get his phone to work here. See if we get some better connection. Graham Hurstwood, the brewer at McClellan's Brewing company, joining us. Graham, West Coast traditional IPAs, where do they rank on your style of beer?
I love them. I mean, I'm a big fan of lots of IPAs. I know people don't believe this, but you know, it was my first introduction to American craft was the West Coast IPA, you know, and I know it's got a little bit of favor because new and young up and coming IPAs are popping their heads around the corner, but I still love. You know, for example, Sierra Nevada, I think, is a world classic, which is just, you know, just fantastic beer. I always have a six-pack in my fridge.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this style for everybody. What are your thoughts on some of these new hazy IPAs?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's a little bit hypey at the moment. I think it's all gone a bit too excessive. People are trying to push that style too far into looking like an orange juice, but there's still some great ones out there, and you know there's a few of the guys down in Greeley, like Wiley and Weldworks, are, you know, really we're leading the way there. So I do kind of cheekily wind them up every time I see them about West Coast these hazies, but they're drinkable, they're nice, not necessarily in my top 10 list of styles, but. But if somebody hands me a can, I'm not going to challenge them to a duel or anything.
Yeah, well, so when you, Graham, when you lie, does your voice get high pitched? you were trying to find the most politically correct answer to that question you could, and I respect that. I respect that. But
well, yeah, I mean, let's put it this way: it wouldn't be the first IPA I'd order off a menu, but you know, I understand it's fun. But I'm kind of pretty old school, you know. I like to be able to see through my beer when you're supposed to, and you know, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if people want to drink it, and it gets them, it brings me to the dark side of craft beer brewing. You know, that's just one more of us and one less of them. So that's cool.
Amen.
Yeah, Graham. We were just talking. A lot of people. I don't know if they know this about you guys, but you guys always keep a couple of cask ales on.
Oh, yeah, we have six on the go at any one time. And one of them, probably our biggest seller, is an IPA. It just happens to be a very old style IPA. It's the recipe dates back to 1885 from the Scottish Brewing Archives. Actually, I found that recipe myself. But, yeah, so, I mean, we do have the six cask engines on at any one time, and some of them will surprise you what you can actually do with cask.
What's the difference in brewing from brewing just a normal beer in a cask ale?
Well, I mean, literally, cask is just a container. You know, it's just a way of serving it. It just happens that we don't carb it up. So the brewing process is almost exactly the same until we put it into the cask. Then we just leave a little bit of yeast in there, ease up the sugar, gives a natural effervescence, which is more like nitro, you know, which actually was created to emulate cask. So, yes, it's a much smoother drink. And because it's less gas, you can drink more of them.
Yeah,
responsibly,
as long as you get that right out of there. What's been the most fun beer that you've brewed in the last year or so?
Oh, well, we actually have a fun one that's going to have a very limited release in November. I made an Imperial Wee Heavy, so it's a 9% Scottish-style ale. We actually then aged that in Hale and Bradford's bourbon barrels.
Oh, yeah.
And, so... just moved out there, and we're going to do a limited bottle release for our special guests.
Get us on that list.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't worry, I'll make sure there's samples for you guys as well.
I love it.
It's a style that I just love brewing. I know it's not the coolest style, but funnily, you can probably tell by the accent, I do like that style.
Well, do you think, you know, McClellan's and yourself, have you found the niche that you're looking for when it comes to the beer that you make?
Well, to be honest, I think, you know, as long we tend to do more UK styles, a little bit more traditional, but the Colorado beer drinkers are so passionate that, you know, they're willing to try new things that our niche is quite broad, shall we say. But yeah, I don't think there's many places outside of the UK where you could introduce cask ale other than Colorado, really. So, yeah, it's... That didn't really answer your question, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. It just okay. Let me. It was a bad question. I'll take the blame on that.
No,
Graham. Here we go.
No, it's totally me.
Well, every brewery, like you mentioned, the Weldworks, Wiley Roots, they're known for a certain beer. What is yours? I mean, is it the cask or is it the fact that you got so many diverse beers?
I really do think it's cask. I mean, you know, we get and it's lovely. Getting feedback, especially, you know, I was down picking up cans at Oscar Blues a couple of weeks back, and they went, "Oh man, you're from that cask place. That's awesome." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, guys. That's really nice. It's just nice to know that people appreciate the cask." I think that is our niche right now.
Do you think it's going to catch on? Do you think there's going to be a lot more cask ales and more engines starting to show up here and there?
Well, I really hope so. I mean, I think that there's been so many different additions to beers that people are kind of running ideas of that. So I'm thinking next thing they're going to move on to is presentation of the beer. Mm-hmm. And I do think cask is a really untapped market, pardon the pun, for different style containers. So I really do think people will try it. And when people get used to it, you know, first of all, they go, it's not fizzy. Then they realize the different flavor aspects from the smoothness really come through for them. So, yeah, I'm really hoping to see more of it. And if anyone out there wants help setting up their beer engine, I'm more than happy to help them as well.
Well, and that's probably the thing that I've noticed the most about cask ales is that they're much smoother because they don't have that the carbon dioxide bite to them that you have from forced carbonation. Do you notice that there's a difference in the summer versus the winter as to what people are ordering? Do they tend to go more towards the cask ales in the summer and less towards that in the winter, or vice versa?
Well, actually, I tend to find that we will definitely have an uptick in our Pilsner, which is carbonated, sells a bit more in the summertime, but people are still loving the cask in summertime as much as wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
One nice thing we do though is we have some of our bigger beers. We actually, you know, like the Wolver, the IPA, we have that on CO2 and cask, so the customers have an option. And I always say to people, if they're not sure, try both. It's amazing the difference the carbonation makes in the flavor. You know, it's from, you know, the same batch will be a completely different beer on your palate. So yeah, I mean, yeah, really the. All year round, people want to try both, and that cheers, that keeps me happy as well.
We're talking with the head brewer of McClellan's Brewing Company. It's Graham Hurstwood joining us. And, Graham, obviously, you talk a lot about the beer trends and where things are going. Any seltzers coming out from you anytime soon?
No, but funnily enough, I was over at another brewery in Fort Collins called Black Bottle. They just did a cask barrel-aged seltzer, which I thought was kind of good fun. But
did you try it? How was it?
It was good fun, shall we say. It was good fun. He actually did really good balance in the flavor. But to be honest, seltzer's not really for me. I'll let that keep the underage drinkers. They can have that, and I'll stick with the beer.
Did you hear that? Did you guys notice the high pitch in his voice when we got in there? Did you notice that? Might be a tell. No, but another big trend that we're seeing, too, maybe not a big trend, but heading that way, is in non-alcoholic beers with no alcohol in it. Is that your thoughts on that, and is that something you would ever consider keeping on tap?
Well, I mean, interestingly enough, this is back in 2003. I tried... The Budweiser, which is the Czech Budweiser, the article Czechvar over here, they did an NA beer with a specialist yeast. I mean, it was fine, but you're still missing that flavor of the alcohol. I think that's an important flavor that people are missing. I understand that some people want to have beer and not have the buzz, but for me, I think it's too important a flavor to miss out, so I'll probably pass on the NA beers as well. Unless, you know, like you guys were talking about, you know, your stomach's being upset later. Maybe if that happens to me, I might change my mind. But at the moment, I think I'll stick with proper booze.
But a cask ale and an NA beer, because mm-hmm. you're missing the carbonation, you can kind of get away with it, especially if you have a very light cask ale down around 2.5% ABV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's quite an art form, making a low ABV beer, 2.5%. There's a great one from Manchester in England called Man's Brown Ale, which is a really good 2.5%.
But I've actually had that one. It's really good.
yeah. See, I'm not just making all these names up. But yeah, it's a skill to do. So, and also, you know, getting down that strength means you can have a long day on the porch for those beers. So yeah, I mean, it's not out with the imagination that I'll do it. But I mean, I think the weakest beer we have at the moment is 4.5%, which is, you know, almost sessionable.
Oh, yeah, almost sessionable. Graham Hurstwood, you were talking a little bit, too. You were able to get out to a beer festival. There's mm-hmm. a couple of them starting to come back around.
Yeah, there is. You know, we've got some of the best beer festivals in the world here, so I'm really looking forward to chatting to people and confusing them with my funny accent. But, you know, it's a really nice way of meeting people you don't usually meet and get a bit of feedback about the beer. And I get to try the brewery's beer as well. So, I'm just dying to get through to a few beer festivals.
How did 2020 impact you personally? I mean, you're definitely an outgoing guy. You're one that really wants to watch people drink his beer and get the reaction, and it's about the people for you. How hard was 2020?
Oh, you probably can't see the Twitch on the radio, but but to be honest, you know, my wife and kids were probably completely fed up with me being in the house and taking on 500 different little projects that didn't need to actually be done. But I did miss sitting in a bar or a pub having a beer and having a chat. It's just how I like to drink my beer. So I was very, very happy and was back to 100%. But obviously I tried my best to behave myself, keep my mask on, and so we could get through this as quickly as possible. And I got my little sticker for having my 2 vaccines, so so let's put it this way. Happy 2020 is over, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well said, very well said. Graham, I know you got to get running here, my man, and we're planning on talking with you again real soon, and we've got a trip lined out there for some part of July, working on those dates. But thank you so much for the time tonight, and what's a good way for people to learn more about McClelland?
Well, I think the best way is come along and have a pint, and I'm always there, so bang on the window of the brewery and wave at me. I might even come out and say hi. But if not, we're on social media all the time. But in person's always better.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Graham. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk with you soon.
And thanks very much for having me on. Great to chat to you guys again. See you soon.
Absolutely. That's Graham Hurstwood, head brewer at McClelland's Brewing Company. Maybe the most, what's the right word? Likeable brewer, most personality out of a brewer in the area. Like, oh my
for sure.
God!
I love the hidden comedy in everything that
everything.
He says has a. He takes time to say it before he says it.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite interviews. It's from the radio side. Honestly, he's so much fun to interview, but he's got to keep me on my toes because he's he's banging all over the place, and I love it. And you'll love McClellan's too. Check it out. They're our brew hop stop here in July. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's drink some beer, shall we? It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Chad, you got the time?
It's beer 30 time.
It is beer 30. I love that you checked your watch even.
You know, I got to. I can't see that on the radio, but.
And all I get to do is just celebrate that it's beer 30.
That's absolutely right. As we get into this, we got three beers here. I think these all classify under more of a traditional, you know, and what we were going for with this traditional West Coast was just nothing hazy. And I'm pretty sure Doc just didn't want to drink hazy beers this evening, so that's why he said it. But what order do we want? Normally we've got this decided. What order? Somebody pick the order. I'm going to remind you guys out there, go ahead and pick the order. We'll just start pouring a beer. That works. Good. Perfect. This is 8 and above is BrewTalk approved. Anything below is not. And it's got to be the average of all three of our scores. So, yeah, there's a little bit of math here. But let's see what we've got here for the traditional West Coast IPAs. Doc, let's start with yours.
Okay, so I picked a relatively local company, Finkel and Garf, out of, looks like, Boulder, Colorado, in the United States of America. They make sure to put that on the can, too. This is their IPA, or India Pale Ale. Play often is their tagline. Their description is dry, citrusy, and aromatic, and it's 6.5% ABV.
It's got a really nice aroma on it.
I love the name of this company, by the way, Finkel and Garf.
Finkel and Garf.
So I'm going to have
sounds
to check
like
this
a
out.
Bad 80s. I mean, Hall & Oates. I mean, is this a bad 70s
Well,
duo?
They've got this shield that has like a, you know, a Hot Wheel and some Legos and some other stuff inside it. So it looks kind of fun.
What are your thoughts here, Chad?
I didn't notice the Hot Wheels in the
You didn't
Legos.
See it? They got the trike on there. And
yeah.
But that's some, aren't those like mostly 80s toys too?
Well, and there's a Frisbee and a wind-up toy, and it looks like a Jack-in-the-Box, and I don't know. It's
well, play often, right?
Play often.
I like it.
For me, the head is quite voluminous, or whatever our word there is. It means fluffy. And
you've been hanging out with me. It's like, who cares, man?
Yeah,
it's just that word.
it's not hazy, but it's not completely bright either. So
I really like the nose on it.
The nose is.
I think it smells really good. It's very inviting. Mm-hmm. It kind of loses me a little bit because the nose has me expecting big things, and then I think for me this beer is kind of just bleh. I mean, it's consistent all the way through. There's nothing wrong with it. This is the field general that I call when you're talking about football, and not going to score you a touchdown every time, but he's going to take control of the ball. He's not going to lose the game for you. That's what I would call this beer.
This is a good go-to kind of IPA. It's smoother. It's got the bitter at the end. It's not overly flavored, but there's tons of aroma on it. So,
and it's everything that the description says. It's dry, it's citrusy, and it's aromatic.
Yeah.
You couldn't,
but it's not a glass of orange juice.
It's not a glass of orange juice.
Right, which I think is very much appreciated by us on this program.
It's those subtle citrus flavors.
I get most of the citrus at the end with some of that bitterness. Mm-hmm. Are you guys getting it there too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the nose has this wonderful aromatic notes to it, kind of a little piney and citrusy there too, but it's not over the top. This is, you know, middle of the
steady road. Eddie right there. I think that's a pretty good one for this. Let's get to some ratings. Doc, you brought it in.
I brought it in first. Yeah, so I'm going to say this is a decent beer. It's not over the top. It's not underappreciating. So I'm going to say 7.5 is a beer.
Chad?
I think that's right where I'm going to go too. Great. Like you said, just solid beer, but it's good.
I can have this, but I'm always going to be looking over the shoulder to see, is there something better back there?
Yeah, they need to turn it up to 11 on this one somehow.
Right.
And just can't figure out what that is.
I'm going
to
go with a 7 flat out on this. That does not make it BrewTalk approved.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me.
It's not that guy. Let's go to this one here. This is the Alaskan Husky IPA, the artwork on this can I really like. Let me steal that back here. It's I don't know. It's simple, but I like it. It shows the Husky running as well, and it's a really cool a painting in the background. Alaskan Husky IPA. This coming in at 7% on this beer. It's brewed by the Alaskan Brewing Company in Juneau. And, well, that's about all the information they give you on this thing. They don't go into much detail. They're just like, here it is. Well, see how you like it.
You can't drive there from here.
You can't. You can try.
Juneau, it's an IPA, though.
You do.
Nice. I was wondering who was going to make that joke. I'm here for it. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? What are your first
thoughts? The nose is much more intense on this one than on the previous one. And
More fruity.
Yeah, much more fruity. They picked the right hops to really give it a kind of this nose. Much brighter than the last one, although the head isn't as fluffy as the previous one we had. Which is not a bad thing. I actually do like the foam on the beer.
Mm-hmm. Right. This one's clearer on the way through, too. I don't know if you just mentioned that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see through. This, I would say, I didn't know for sure because of the lack of information that they have on there, you know, if it was going to be a West Coast. But you don't see a lot of people brand them as West Coast. If there's no hazy on there, then normally it's going to be more of a traditional IPA.
Right. Yeah, so if you're looking at a bottle and it says hazy or juicy, it's not probably going to be in a West Coast. It could be, but it probably isn't.
Right, right. I like it. I do. What are your thoughts, Chad?
I like it, too. Alaskan Brewing Company does a lot of really good beers, mm-hmm. and I had not had this one before, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm very glad we brought this one in. This is an awesome beer.
Right, and this one, for me, the citrus is more prominent at the front of my drink instead of with the
on the end.
Instead of on the end, right? Instead of on the back with the bitter, and it balances it out, I think. I think it starts strong, and it stays there the entire way. I think it's pretty consistent. I like how this beer plays out.
I do, too. There's really nothing. This is what I would think is an excellent example of an IPA, a West Coast style. It's got the wonderful in-your-face American nose. Mm-hmm. It's got the bitter at the end, but that's balanced.
Yep.
And the liquid in between is just smooth with just the right amount of mouthfeel. I would order a second one of these for sure.
I would too. Definitely. In fact, I would. I'm glad I got this six pack. let's get into the ratings here. I will go first, and I'm gonna go with a. I'm gonna go 9.4 on this. 9.4 for me on this beer. So I really do like this. So
that's good.
I don't know if you guys are gonna be up there with me or not, but there's where I'm at. Doc.
Yeah. So I'm almost right there with you. I'm gonna say this is a 9 for me. This is a pretty good example of a West Coast IPA. The northern part of the West Coast rather than the southern part that we're very used to.
Yeah. So. What would you change to make this a little bit better?
What would I change to make it a little
bit
better?
What is it missing? It's just
the nose is a little bit more fruity than I like it to be. I like the floral, but I'd like it to be more
that piney. Right.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Chad, what are your thoughts? All just say, Ryan's laughing at us, did we all just say piney in unison? Nice. It's almost like we've done this once or twice. Sorry, go ahead, Chad.
Well, and that piney is really what I'd look for in a West Coast IPA. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my draw.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go, I'll go right about the 9 with Doc. I think it's a good beer.
Right. So we've got a 9.4, a 9, and a right about the 9 from Chad. So I'm going to guess that does make it BrewTalk approved.
Except it's Alaska. Knows how to party.
This song's probably huge in Juneau right now. It's probably huge. It's just getting there.
Well, you can't get there from by driving, so you have to like either take a boat or fly. So
a boat?
A boat.
You got your accent going just in case you were on that boat?
Yeah, that's my Canadian roots, I guess. So
I like it. All right, so we're 1-2 so far. We've got an upslope beer to bring us home.
So I Doc and I both went to Boulder with our beers today.
Yeah, it was one hell of a journey for
it
me.
Was.
For me to go to Juneau, you guys just went to Boulder.
It was the first liquor store I saw on the way from the restaurant here.
There you go.
Ingredients are snowmelt, malt, American hops, and yeast. Handcrafted, that's just aluminum cans. recyclable. So I thought it was going to talk about the beer, but well, it just says the cans are recyclable.
As long as it's not yellow snow melt, I'm good to go.
Not yellow snow melt. This one's much more amber color than the,
yes,
the other two.
By far darker. The head on this one, you talk about fluffy, it's very much so.
Yes, this one really has that hop character fluffiness that you'd like to see in an IPA. And it has a very pronounced maltiness that the other ones were missing.
Yeah. And the hops in it have that dankness rather than the citrusy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, resiny.
It's still. Am I missing the piney?
No, a dank
it's,
is probably
it's, yeah, it's not
way.
Even, yeah. This, so I'm actually very surprised with the three of these, because when I think traditional, I think that piney nose on it, and I'm a little surprised we got three of them that didn't, because and maybe that's just a misconception on my part, but the first couple that I always had, it was more that it felt like I was biting into a pine cone.
You know, it'd be really great if we had like 30 of them here to look at, and then
that's
we
true.
Could rank them that way, but I don't think we can make it through the whole show after 30.
Yeah, though. Chad would be under the table, and I don't
I'd be
know.
Dancing it, on it.
So Tanner have his pants off.
Oh, wait.
No, wait.
Why did I have to be the weird one? Wait, never mind. That fits. So, yeah, it is. It's all right. I need to get my third sip here before I start making comments, I suppose. Somebody else talk.
I love the amber color to it, because to me that not only tells me that there's a little bit more of the roastier malts in it, but they spent a little bit of time to think, okay, we're not just going to make something that's a hop bomb. Right. We're going to add some flavor to this too. And that maltiness, I think, really helps push the hops over the top.
Yeah.
So there's something about my palate that I don't know what it is, but when I drink beers like this, I get like a taste of copper. I get like that penny. I don't know what it is. And
so
I've been
maybe like a toffee roasted kind of
something,
flavor.
Man. And this one, it's not as pronounced, but like amber beers and things like that, mm-hmm. it is so prominent that I try and stay away from it, because I take a drink and it feels like I'm biting or sucking down on a penny, and it's like that's not a great feeling. And no, I haven't sucked on a penny before, Chad, before you even go there, but it's I get a little bit of that with this beer.
I was just going to ask whose penny. But
there it is. Yeah. I knew something was coming. All right, let's get into the ratings here. I think we need to move this thing along, so let's get into the ratings. Chad, you brought it in.
I really like this. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm going to go with a 9.
Actually, I kind of like this one as the best of the three. For me, this is a 9.5.
I liked the Alaskan a little bit better. This is a solid beer. Just for me, the Alaskan was better. So I'm going to go 8.9 on this one, which does make it BrewTalk approved. Yeah, Boulder's close enough. Let's take a break here. We'll come back on the other side. Wrap up this edition of Brew Talk on this Wednesday evening. Don't go anywhere. You're listening on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Oh, it brings back memories.
Welcome back in. It's Brew Talk inside the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us. Well, fellas, West Coast IPAs, I think it's safe to say there's some West Coast traditional IPAs out there that could be a little bit better than what we had brought in. But these are three brand new beers to me. I had never tried any of these, and the Alaskan is definitely one that I would go back to.
And I think this is a great example that you may be used to Lagunitas, you may be used to Sierra Nevada,
right.
You may be used to, you know, Stone IPA, something like that. Try some of these others. They're pretty awesome.
All right. Any final thoughts from you, Chad?
I like IPAs.
I like IPAs, too. For Ryan Kelly, for Chad Young, for Doc Moe, I am Tanner Schwint. We'll be back with you next week. Enjoy your time. This has been Brew Talk right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Cheers!